physicist from Naples, great researcher. You never told me your UFO story. My uncle, my dad's brother, so live, great guy in East Texas, he was walking between the house like 11 p.m. at night because more people came over to my grandmother's house and his uncle's house was across the street. He went to get more dominoes. And then he sees three flying saucers landed in the field and basically little creatures picking plants like E.T. It's where E.T. came out. He's telling me the story. That's a real story. He's not a BSer. He saw that one time. You were telling your UFO story. Tell Daniel Lister's story.
Yes. So this was January 3rd, 2007 in Naples Park, Florida, which is a neighborhood in Southwest Florida that's right along the coast. And from what I hear, there is a high activity of encounters with UFOs in the Florida Gulf Coast.
Sure, but tell us what you saw.
And so what I saw at night around midnight was a low-flying craft that was hovering right above people's houses that had no sound whatsoever at first.
And what year was this?
2007. At first, I thought it would may have been like a police helicopter or something, and it was in the shape of a triangle, had three red circles on each point of the triangle, and it was flying extremely low, no sound whatsoever, and I was like, wow, that's kind of unexplainable. I was a little like freaked out about it. And then the next morning, around 8:30 in the morning, I'm out front of my house, and in the neighborhood, most of the houses are one-story houses, so I could see off in the distance from a couple blocks. And all of a sudden, I look up in the sky, and a craft starts coming in from afar. And at first, it looked almost like a drone, like I could see a tail on it. But as it got closer into my field of vision, it was a full-on disc with lights on it, pink, yellow, green lights. And it was hovering, again, very low to the ground, and it was flying in zigzags where you wouldn't see it flow from one point to the next. It would hover kind of shaky, and then it would zip to one other area. Then it got very close to this tree, and it was right next to a tree. As it got next to the tree, sparks started shooting off of the top of it, and little like flares were coming out. And then all of a sudden, it flashed into a bunch of sparks and then folded and collapsed inside of itself, and then it was disappeared. I kid you not, I saw that.
My uncle's completely mainline guy, like Mr. Chevy Trigger. He like literally three flying saucers and stuff going on.
I saw that with a good friend of mine, and we both saw it. We were in awe. You know, we didn't film it or anything back then. I think I didn't even have like an iPhone. I had some, you know, cheap cell phone. I just stared at it. I mean, we watched it.
Well, here's a quick story. I was probably like 8 years old driving back from our ranch, East Texas to Dallas. And now I always remember it. It was the stealth fighters in like 1980 or something, but painted like marine camouflage, like gray and green. And but later when they came out with the stealth fighters, I go, oh, I saw that. I saw three of those flying over I-45 when I was a little kid. So that's my point is, it's not just, so how much this is alien, how much this is human? Daniel Liss.
Wow, far out story. I'll tell you, Florida is an epicenter for those types of encounters, but that something like that is really wild. Here's what I can tell you also is that if you go, there are a number of cases, but the Phoenix Lights case from 1997, where just the whole city had these craft just sitting over the city for 3 days, there's a commercial printout of a recording that took place in that era of the pilot who was over one of the crafts of the Phoenix Lights. And he said, this thing is gigantic. It's as big as a football field. What is this? And then at a certain point, you can hear him coming over the radio saying, oh, wait a minute. Not only is it gigantic, I can see through it. So it's not even fully there. This is part of the problem that the government has with tracking UFOs. And I think what they've done is redeveloped that technology.
Yeah, that's famous video. I've seen that where he's like, yeah, seeing through it.
Yes, he can. I mean, and this is that's invisibility. That's a total metamorphosis. So we're dealing again with that apotheum effect. It distorts the physical reality. You know, I remember talking with Professor Mack years ago, and I'll make this quick to the next break, but I'll say this. He said, well, my problem with the abduction things is people get abducted through walls, through cars. How do you do that? They must be using something completely we don't know anything about.
Let's talk about that in closing with Daniel Liss straight ahead. Stay with us. Back in 1 minute. One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. Out of all the amazing supplements at TheAlexShowStore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to TheAlexShowStore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at TheAlexShowStore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
All right, Jason Burmes takes over, loaded for bear on the Jeffrey Epstein situation and more. Harrison Smith is locked and loaded in about 54 minutes from now with the War Room, Infowars.com/show. But wow, what revelations. Daniel List. How would you describe, we already talked about it, but the moment we're in right now, such disclosure, everything coming out, it's clearly going to get crazier from here. The current power structure is dying. How does humanity impose themselves to build something better?
Well, that's a fantastic question. I'll tell you, you're right about the moment that we're in. I mean, we just had this announcement with Obama saying, yeah, aliens are real, but they're not at Area 51, and they haven't been hidden in these bunkers, or someone, there's a great conspiracy against the president. Well, I mean, Obama talking like this, he was in office for 8 years, he didn't say anything about it, and here he is now funding a movie about Betty and Barney Hill that Netflix is going to do. You know, so we're in a totally different field of vision, field of material reality.
By the way, do you forget, I think 6 months ago, you predicted Obama would do alien... disclosure. You remember saying that?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We did it, actually. And there was a whole piece with Obama because Obama kept trying to bring himself back on the producer side coming into this. He knows, of course, obviously, he's tapped in that something big is coming out about it. But what I'm hearing now is they're trying to push Trump into this July speech about disclosure. And now Lara Trump, on two different occasions in the last 48 hours, has said, yes, you know, he knows something about it, and he's going to speak to the idea that there are extraterrestrials, but, you know, I can't speak for him. But that's Lara Trump. That's not just regular internet buzz. This is, you know, Lara Trump saying it about the president. So that's also rather large. So we have Obama saying, yeah, aliens are real, putting himself in the heart of it, producing these alien movies. This summer, we have three major alien movies coming out. Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day. He's been pumping that up. They did a huge ad during the Super Bowl with about 2 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, so what's really behind it? What is this a fake disclosure?
It is. I'll tell you, they don't want the real aspect of the disclosure, but it's been hanging out there so long that they've been able to develop the breakaway tech in the background. This is what they've been working on. And the idea is they've needed a story to come back in with it. And this is the level that we're at. Their story that they're creating is there's a menace and we need to put up this golden grid against this UFO grid at the Golden Dome.
As if we can stop real aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This other thing, it's flying around. They're not going to talk about bodies, you know, that whole thing. It's just going to be the craft themselves. And the craft are a threat, so therefore we have to put this up. We have to take a
measure. And I know you don't get into speculation, but from the different globalist elites, is all that UFO lore real, like the Aryans and the Greys and all that?
I think that part of it has been watered down dramatically. I think there's an aspect of it that's old, that's true. And I think it was the very earliest aspects when people had encounters about it. Betty and Barney Hill's encounter is a very interesting encounter. You could say, oh, they were just being brainwashed or whatever. However, there weren't any real precedents for what took place with them. And it's interesting because Betty Hill, who gave many, I've talked to her niece on different occasions, but she gave many, many interviews about it. And she said, oh, the aliens don't look anything like the Greys. They look basically like us, except a little different, just a little different. Their eyes are bigger, you know. So there's some other group operational that has more advanced technology. Are they an off-world visitor group. They could,
or could
they
be another advanced human species that broke away and left us here as like a nature preserve?
Exactly. And when we roll into the 20th century, 21st century, we start to get groups of scientists who also want to break away, right? They stop sharing things with the public at a certain point. Well, that's exactly how you get a group like that eventually, because they can kind of clone themselves into this perfect, you know, being. But after a while, the cloning tissue goes down. And what do they do? All the hallmarks of the UFO experience are all about taking sexual genetic.
So just
properties.
Like Epstein was about getting tissue, they're farming us.
It is. It is. There's no question about it. So
ours
or another,
is really a giant organ harvesting facility.
I would say so. Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, too, because what is it that the
Because they could do it themselves, but there's nothing better than organic. So we're like the organic food.
And isn't
there's this. Yeah,
go ahead,
exactly.
Sorry. Isn't there a theory that the crafts themselves may have some type of organic or self-awareness, that the actual crafts are biological? I know there's actually a movie where that's kind of the plot, the movie Nope. Where they find out the actual craft is alive itself. I don't know as far as people, you know, actually believing that, but I've heard some discussions about it.
Well, what I heard was that Jesse Marcel, the original intelligence officer who took the Roswell wreckage, when he brought the wreckage home, his whole family became psychic. So the son was psychic, he became psychic, the wife was psychic. That's what we're talking about. So whatever it is, it lifts you into a different style of consciousness. There's no question about it. Why does that interaction happen? Well, where is it from? You know, so if we're looking at something like this, we could look at it on a radar. Something crashes, we go to retrieve it. That seems like a very kind of regular cleanup operation. Other UFO stories don't work like that at all. You know, they disappear. You know, very often when people encounter them, they'll encounter spiritual beings or whatever. So there's different varieties of what we're talking about. There's very well the possibility that early on there was a group called the Cosmos Club, which I call a kind of UFO Bilderberg. And the Cosmos Club is still around, still the biggest billionaires funding it.
Yeah, that's over 100 years old, right?
Yeah. And very early on, the guy who founded it was a nobody, but he was from Cape Girardeau. And Cape Girardeau is also the location of the first major UFO crash in 1941. So the crisscross there is unbelievable. And out of nowhere, they're giving this guy who he has one arm from the Civil War. They're giving him all these grants and everything to go to the Grand Canyon, et cetera. My belief is in his early explorations, and this gets very deep, but with the help of Native Americans, he was able to find very early UFO ruins. And if you look at some of the earlier stories of some of the big whistleblowers around the UFO thing, very often they'll refer to the idea of UFO archaeology. And this idea is very interesting to me because what happens is you're doing all this archaeology and you run across something very advanced from the past. So whether it was from here or somewhere else, that's an interesting story.
Daniel, we got to talk to you again. You got to come back next week. So amazing. Dark Journalist. Everybody should visit your site. On X, Dark Journalist. Absolutely amazing. Regardless, it's here. The Age of Disclosure is here. So many changes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex. It's great to be here. Have a great one.
Thank you. Jason Burmese is about to take over. Closing comments to Thomas Sisko before Burmese takes over.
I know that we're having these big movies come out in July, and Trump has nodded to being open to disclosure. And I think it would be a big distraction of the Epstein thing. So maybe that's a card that they'll play to kind of get everyone off the trail of this debacle that will never go away.
You're right. I mean, devil worship. Cannibalism, all confirmed, sex slaves, we're totally vindicated. And it's just so sad to see Trump attaching himself to cover up. Absolutely amazing.
Yes, sir.
All right, great job, Thomas. So much you covered today. Anything else you didn't add?
I think that's it. We're definitely seeing some movement with repercussions for people that are involved with Epstein. We've got Pritzker resigning. And
that old pedo family.
You know, there's a lot of movement happening, and I'd love to see what's going on at Zorro Ranch with the construction that's happening right now.
Yeah, I didn't hit the. I mean, I didn't even hit all the others. It's just insane.
Right. But I don't want any construction going on over there. If there's bodies or anything still left intact, the place has never been raided. I mean, you're doing construction at a crime scene. That needs to be stopped.
I totally agree. Well, there's a criminal investigation at the state level. All right. My former co-host and great documentary filmmaker of Loose Change, Jason Burmes, takes over on X. Jason Burmes, he's loaded for bear. Jason, can't wait to hear what you have to say, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Alex. Today we're going to be focusing on two aspects of the Epstein files. One in particular, the quote-unquote 9/11 Shadow Commission that J. Edward Epstein, a journalist that has, well, I guess you could call him a journalist, also an MIT professor, same school as Noam Chomsky, that is very much in the field of narrative management with connections to the Central Intelligence Agency. And this is more than likely why Ghislaine Maxwell was actually contacted. And then to show these networks, to show people how this actually works and has for many times, someone, we don't know who because they're redacted, going to Jeffrey Epstein about a new membership in the quote-unquote Zodiac Club, which I had no idea about, which has all the occultic undertones that we've become accustomed to. But it also shows who these people are, bigots and racists and narrative managers. So let's start right now with the 9/11 Shadow Commission email and subsequently what I was able to find out about what this commission actually was. So here in January of 2003, you have J. Edward Epstein, and you'll notice there's a couple of URLs there, asking Ghislaine Maxwell, who, again, portrays herself as Little Miss Innocent. No, far from it. Remember, her father, not only a super spy, but his big thing was narrative management through his newspaper and media empire. Any interest on being the Shadow Commission on 9/11? The membership list is a secret. And as of now, I don't know any of the other names that were on this commission that absolutely took place. And how do I know it took place? Well, number one, this is the time period they're putting the initial commission together. Remember, they headed it with Henry Kissinger, but a lot of people forget his underling was going to be George Mitchell, a politician that we've known connected to Epstein for well over a decade now. And yes, he is accused of some of the most heinous crimes in there. George Mitchell actually stepped down from that commission seat before Henry Kissinger did. So this is a screenshot from Epstein's website, and this is J. Edward Epstein, again, not Jeffrey, from March of 2001. And we have so many of the limited hangout aspects. Was there a military chain of command failure on September 11th? Was there security failures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Now, it's going to be noted in a moment that this guy was also huge lobbying for Israel, just like Jeffrey Epstein, just like Les Wexner. In fact, when you look at some of the questions, even though he's questioning here Ari Fleischer opening about the use of box cutters. And by the way, the use of box cutters on 9/11, the evidence is very, very minuscule. Instead, what you actually had in that situation was you had a multitude of reports that there were actually weapons planted on planes, and even with Flight 11, a gun being used in those hijackings. So this guy's role for decades, J. Edward Epstein, has been questioning things like the John F. Kennedy assassination. He wrote several books on that. But when push came to shove, for instance, in 2008, and by the way, Epstein, I believe, passed away in 2024, when he's asked about the JFK assassination, 40 years later, he's the guy that will say something like, after 40 years, none of the theories pan out. You know, aside from questioning the box cutters on 9/11, we have him here also questioning whether or not crop dusters were going to be used. There were a couple of reports on that. So what this guy does a lot of the time is he seems like the dissident, but in a very limited fashion. In fact, you could coincide this guy with a guy like Noam Chomsky that will tell you about manufacturing consent, but if you dare ask about Building 7, he won't have it, and he wants to make sure that if you're not willing to take bioweapon injections, from an authoritarian government, well, you need to be separated from society. So here's another thing I found about Epstein, and then we're going to kind of move on from that network and some of the other reportings on 9/11 and how the Epstein files seem to have a huge gap in that 9/11 window, pre-9/11 and post-9/11. Now, remember, we have what? 3+ million pages of files, and they've admitted to 2.5 million more. We're going to show you that evidence in a moment. But just like I said, you know, this guy questioning certain aspects of the 9/11 attacks, he actually also did a very good piece. In fact, maybe I read this on, you know, back in the day when I was at InfoWars, because it's 2010, on the anthrax attacks, where they're admitting to a ton of the anomalies. Now, one of the really interesting things about this is that Epstein supposedly is currently completing a book on the 9/11 Commission. So this guy was deep in that type of narrative management. However, that book never came out. He did write a book apologizing for CIA Director James Angleton and asking whether he was right. Now, I want to skip to another email that we have to be careful of here. Now, I've talked about this on a lot of my broadcasts surrounding these files, because you have emails like the one I showed you that are directly to and from Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein, Sarah Kalin, Leslie Groff, all the real associates, right? And a lot of those people are protected big time. Now, in this one, it's a 2020 email. So now you have the hotline, you have the new open investigations. There are a lot of documents in there that are important. Now, this one, I'm on the fence, okay? But it does mention two big things that connect in relation to 9/11 and Iran-Contra. Very similar network, a network that I believe is connected. And if we get those extra Epstein files, it's going to become more and more apparent about that connection. So the subject is Khashoggi connects to Epstein. I just mentioned Iran-Contra. And I'm going to show you that it's not just Khashoggi and Epstein in Iran-Contra. It's a guy named Douglas Leese, and it's also a guy named Stanley Pottinger that he's connected to. Khashoggi is actually the guy that kind of inspires Epstein's harem activity. A lot of people forget that Khashoggi, the arms dealer, had a harem of his own. Do you guys think that the Middle Eastern harem was carding girls at 18 to make sure they were a part of it? Of course not. He was also an abuser of young girls. In fact, Epstein, previous to this, is dating powerful people's daughters to kind of get into place. And then that changes after the Khashoggi relationship. So I bring this up because, again, this is like one of those emails where we do have a response that says, "Receive, thank you." We don't know who it's from. We know what the subject line is, but it's not well written. You know, it's almost like in this weird coded stuff. But here it says, if there is a grand jury on 9/11/01 and Epstein, then Berman knows they connect. Okay? So when we're talking about 9/11 altogether, we are talking about a international intelligence operation with role players in the United States, he's connected to, Saudi Arabia, he's connected to. I'm about to show you that connection in a moment. And of course, Israel. Okay, so for instance, and he continues to be, you know, there's the spy email out there. They caught our spy after she achieved her mission, and then they talk about torturing her. Did they torture her? Oh, okay. So this is between Sultan bin Salim in 2010, and this is to Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, I am attaching some media clippings regarding the Israeli operation in Dubai. I will call you around 7 p.m. Eastern time. What happened today doesn't help anybody. Okay? Now, the operation he's talking about is the assassination of this Hamas official. And in this video, you can go check it out on Charlie Rose. We're not going to play it. We're kind of limited on time. I've got other videos that we're going to play. But they show you the assassination team, the Israeli assassination team. And obviously, you know, Jeffrey Epstein is being contacted at that point because he is in this network. Now, this guy is J. Edward Epstein, and he is running narrative management on the Charlie Rose show as to Israel's role in this assassination. That's what these people do. Okay. So I wanted to get into the 9/11 files that seem to be missing. Okay. Because again, if you look at this from the data set of nine, right, there seems to be a huge gap in the correspondences. And then, and this is in 95 to 98. Now, one of the reasons that could be outside of 9/11, I want to make this very clear, is years and years ago, I interviewed Maria Farmer. Now, Annie Farmer is one of the faces you see, one in court, the whole nine. And Maria Farmer had made the claim. She went to the FBI on Epstein and nothing was done. And it wasn't until these data dumps that started to come out, right, that we found out that that file absolutely existed. So there is a possibility that there was a whole other investigation during this time period that we really have no insight into. But then when you look at the financials that seem to be gone, all right, and then you look at the sequences that are missing. The sequence resumes at SDNY 042000. Okay, this is a manual excision of roughly 15,000 ledger lines. All right? And then basically, when you look at that, it shows you a picture that they are absolutely hiding information there. Now, why would they do that? Okay. This article right here came out just as the DOJ released their first four data sets. And this is a piece by several New York Times journalists. And I want to make it clear that it is also Limited Hangout. Scam Schemes, Ruthless Cons, The Untold Story of How Jeffrey Epstein Got Rich. They try to establish right away, hey, I know there's all these conspiracy theories that he had intelligence connections, but those are just conspiracy theories. Then it goes on to tell you in two subsequent sections that number one, he went on the road with defense contractor and arms dealer Douglas Lease, who took him under his wing. That's right after Bear Stearns. He still has all those connections. So he learned that trade from Douglas Lease on the road. Now, remember, he has that fake passport at that time as well that we know from these files that was issued from Austria that had a what? Saudi Arabian address. These are the connections, folks. Okay, you understand? And then Pottinger. Let's get into him. So Stanley Pottinger was a lawyer guy and a businessman that was heavily involved in Iran-Contra, heavily involved in narrative management. And Johnny Vedmore did a great piece called the Pottinger Ultimatum. There was a bunch of them. And he showed how Pottinger and Jeffrey Epstein were sharing like office space together. Well, this article not only shows that they shared office space together, it can be the first time they can be admitted they were in business together. Two more guys from Iran-Contra gets better. Pottinger actually becomes part of the legal team, teaming up with Bradley Edwards. Bradley Edwards suspects that he's CIA, even writes it in his book, representing a bunch of these Epstein victims. Okay? This runs extremely deep. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go deeper into the Iran-Contra network. We're going to show you how that worked, and it continues to this day, how that could also relate to 9/11. And then we're going to get into secret societies, the Zodiac Club, the importance of Epstein in these roundtable groups, and much more. Before we get back, go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Make a purchase. Support the broadcast. Support free speech. We're going to be back with the Alex Jones Show and more Epstein files after this.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish CMOS. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
And we are back. We left off. We were talking about the arms dealing aspects of Epstein and his network. And that is so important because when you look at the financial records that are missing pre and post 9/11, I need you to consider a few things. Number one, if you have this type of prior knowledge, I've seen people talking about the possibility of the put options and the insider trading, and that is absolutely there. We know that Epstein was getting all sorts of goody information inside on big global dollars. For instance, Lord Mandelson coming forward to him and saying, hey, we're about to have this $500 billion bailout for the European Union. Of course you could leverage information like that. We also have to remember that this is a time before DHS. This is a time before Michael Chertoff and the gang institute what? Body scanners in all of the different airports and other facilities they can get them into. Okay? My guess is when you see this network, you're going to see those type of deals with American companies, but well beyond that as well. And as far as the banking goes, Well, we already know that Jess Staley has paid a bunch out via J.P. Morgan. That's far from the only institution that was running dirty money for Jeffrey Epstein and the gang. And again, hearkening back to that era of Iran-Contra, there was a particular bank that needs to be looked into. And shout out to Mike Benz, because he made this connection. And it was BCCI. And BCCI, as well as being involved in Iran-Contra, was involved in the Osama bin Laden network. And remember, that network, folks, was part of U.S. intelligence when it opposed the Soviets. Okay, and BCCI, some people got arrested, some slaps on the wrist, just like Iran-Contra, and it went away. And I want to show you something. We actually celebrate our arms dealers. And in fact, Epstein never stopped dealing arms from Iran-Contra. That was Prince Andrew's gig. That's one of the reasons that he was the closest to Andrew in particular. Even Ehud Barak, okay, he wasn't just the prime minister. He was the Israeli defense minister. We're going to show you a clip that shows he was probably dealing arms with Ehud Barak as well in the late 90s, early 2000s. But to point out that we celebrate our arms dealers, Arnon Milkin was one of the biggest in Hollywood for years, okay? And one of the gun runners that he worked with, and of course, they worked with Israel. In fact, if you don't know, in the Iran-Contra affair, it was Israel that bought the weapons from Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia, then shipped them down to South America. It was us that would then ship up the drugs and any other contraband cargo we wanted to, and then pay them off on the black market after the fact. Little guy named Sidney Pollack. And Sidney Pollack is kind of making the rounds these days. You'll know when you see him. Because Eyes Wide Shut has a resurgence with these Epstein files. And he's the bad guy in Eyes Wide Shut. He wasn't just an actor. He was also another big director in Hollyweird. Now, I want to talk about this video we're playing. Lewis Black talked about his dinner with Jeffrey Epstein. Okay. And essentially, you know, we're going to show the clip where he talks about it, but he talks about a brief interaction with Epstein where Epstein is showing him that he is an arms dealer. Now, I just want to get one quick other note. He went with a comedian named Bobby Slayton. Okay. Now, Bobby Slayton is in the emails. He seems to be very friendly with the Epstein gang, and he's in one of the coded emails, the pizza emails. So I'm just going to say this to everybody. There's a lot going on with the coded language from the pizza, I get it, to the jerky, to the grape soda. You go on and on and on. I would tell people to be careful because this one, for instance, is Bobby flying into New York as a comedian. Okay, remember that. Saying this to Groff, leaving tomorrow morning early. And yes, of course, we'll be there at 4. You need a pizza or anything. Now, I don't think that that's a young girl. I don't think that he's picking up women for Epstein. Again, he's not in the modeling industry. It's probably drugs, okay? And she goes, ha, 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 I don't need a pizza, but thank you in big letters for offering with the big old smiley face, okay? That's what I imagine in that email, but we're going to go to Lewis Black, and we're going to show you how, again, Epstein seemed to be arms dealing in that same time period, late 90s, early 2000s, that, you know, we have this whole situation with 9/11 and the war on terror.
And it was the kind of thing you go into is when we got here, here's what's, it's weird from the beginning because it's like you go in and he's got a whiteboard and there's all of this stuff drawn on it. Mm. And he goes, you want me to tell you what that is? And I go, yeah, well, sure. Bobby and I, he goes, you know, I had the Israeli defense minister here last night for dinner. And then he's got me and Bobby Slayton. I mean, what kind of defense systems Israel would use in case of attack?
Wow.
And I thought, you know what? First, why would you tell me this is already, now it's weird.
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing else is weird, but I know this was like a honk, honk, something is wrong in this house.
Yeah.
Apologize about the language. Forgot how graphic it got. I will say this. You know, I talked about the fact, and we're going to move on from the arms dealing to the secret society stuff and the financial stuff. These guys are bigots. Now, there are not only NBOM emails, one about a snipe hunt, Okay. And they're protecting the senders, but there's also a meme dropping the N-bomb. And this shows you that this class of people, we're not a part of it. You and I are not a part of it. And this is why, first of all, you'll never hear the left talk about those emails and demand that they get redacted. They won't talk about the outward racism. For instance, there's literally an email that I could read here. I don't know if we're going to have time. Maybe I will fish it out, where he's talking to Masha Durkova about hiring people for their businesses by finding genetically Jewish people only, making them take 23andMe tests, okay? And then if you score 98%, then you get to go to a party where they recruit you. These people are weirdos. And it's not just the genetics and the eugenics and the transhumanism. We could get into the Ben Gertzel emails, the AI children, the whole nine. It is a society of people that have been around for a very long time. In fact, I didn't even know that this society existed. Let's get into it. It is the Zodiac Club email. So once again, this is 2010. We're not allowed to know who it's from. Just got a note from Bob Preary, who asked me if I thought Murray Gell-Mann would be a good candidate for the Zodiac. As you know, so Epstein knows a little bit about this club. It's one of the last secret type societies. The Zodiac is one of the really cool ones where there are 12 members at any one time, and it's still very secret. They do really cool stuff. I'm very excited about this. But mostly, since they are very old, it's just dinners in exotic locations. I can tell you all 12 of the members because I can't tell you all 12 of the members because I don't know who they are, but I know Paul Volcker is one. Some guy named Howdy, whose family owns Stuyvesant Town, Bob Peary, and I think Tom Brokaw. Bob represents Cancer. The sign, not the month. You are a member until your death, but if you get senile, they can put you in eccentric orbit and not invite you to the meetings. Anyway, the only way to get in is if someone dies. There are obviously no minorities, or women in the Zodiac Club. So no minorities or women. By the way, those are the records right there till 1915. We'll get into that in a minute. So they're not allowed. Let me know what you think. And then it's I want to know who it's from because they're sending them postcards and telling them they miss Jeffrey Epstein. So why is this important? Well, you look into this Zodiac Club. And again, 1868 to 1915, they have these records. And once again, it's this weird astrological stuff for some reason. But these are movers and shakers. I mean, J.P. Morgan, one of the members. Frank K. Sturgis. One of the early members, head of the New York Stock Exchange. Let's get into some of these people right now, okay? And that document, by the way, that was on archive.org. I didn't even fish that out when I found this, when I was hunting down certain things. I found one article on this over the years. I've talked about for years Bohemian Grove, Skull and Bones, things like Book and Snake, Scroll and Key. This is a New York City one, and if you notice the names, we'll get into them in a moment. But Paul Volcker, he was the former head of the U.S. Federal Reserve. Kind of a big deal. Kind of had some big financial connections. And this is what I talk about with the narrative management aspect of all these people, right? That this is it right in your face. It's the head of the Fed, part of this secret dinner site. And you only know, what, three members? So Robert Peary, this is a goodbye from good old Henry Kissinger when he passed. And he was a huge representative of the Rothschilds and the banking industries. And of course, he knew Epstein, Bob, because Epstein represented the Rothschilds. They mentioned Tom Brokaw. Okay, well, let's relate that to some Epstein relationships. You know, we just talked about J. Edward Epstein and him with narrative management and academia and in the media. We did the same with Noam Chomsky. How about Walter Cronkite? Remember Walter Cronkite, all over the files now at the island, there for years. He was the most trusted man in America. After Walter Cronkite was gone, who was it? Who was the most trusted? Oh, it's either Tom Brokaw or Peter Jennings. You know, obviously, both paid liars, but that's just three of the 12. Now, the one from Stuyvesant Town, some people have sent me some names. I haven't been able to confirm it, so I've backed off of those. Just a bit, you know. I like to I like to stick with what I can prove with these people. I think that that's extremely important. But in the arena now, again, of narrative management and science, you know, if you watch that segment of the Bannon interview, and I say segment because we've got 2 hours of a possible 15 to 18 hours, you got to wonder, since it was released during the DOJ would have to have that, maybe even more. They have to have all the raw footage. Why hasn't that been released yet? I'm waiting for it. Okay. This is Murray Gell-Mann. And again, if you listen to that, Epstein talks about the nature of math. He talks about the nature of physical reality, talks about it being outdated. You go through these emails. And when he's talking to a lot of these transhumanists, he's funding projects via Hansen Robotics. Hansen Robotics, again, something I was talking about literally 16 years. Man, it's 2026. I think I did like my first shows for InfoWars in like 2008. And Hansen Robotics was in Austin. And they had like little like toy robots and heads of famous people. Philip K. Dick's one of them. And I'd play those videos on air. So here again would be another person in that science arena. But getting back to the occult aspects, some people were asking me whether or not the sundial on the Epstein facility may have something to do with the Zodiac Club. All I can say is this. Instead of 12 seats right there, you've got 13 different seats. But I don't know, kind of weird to have that sundial there in the first place. Okay. So luckily, we do have a little extra time to delve into a bunch of the other stuff in these files. Why don't we start with narrative management? And, you know, I talked about aspects of the media and aspects of Epstein. And obviously, look, you know, Bannon's all throughout those emails. Bannon's, I know Alex talked about it a little yesterday. Bannon contacts Epstein to take out Mnuchin and Jerome Powell in 2018. Okay. There are two different pictures, and I think they're two separate residences. We know none of them are Zorro Ranch, but Epstein's got framed pictures of him and Bannon in the house on one of his desks. Okay. This guy had a lot of people that were narrative management folks. And I'll just throw this. This is Jason Burma's speculation town. Remember when Megyn Kelly caught all that flack for talking about somebody that she knew that didn't consider, Epstein a quote-unquote pedophile? Folks, we've got the documentation on the 14-year-olds through 16. In fact, you can go watch now the house manager that was selling the black book talking about Ghislaine Maxwell going to different website depositories from girls around the world by specific region. And they're like 16. There's no doubt they were doing those things. But here's some more narrative management via that modeling world. And this woman, actually, she kind of got out ahead of it, or tried to. And that would be Faith Cates. No one's talking about this either. This is Next Model Management founder. And she retired probably because of emails like this one, where they're talking about what? Newsweek articles. Have you seen that? I know it comes out Monday. They're very thankful that Charlie Sheen is in the news with his tiger blood in 2011 and Gaddafi and what they're doing there. Just anything to get away. They're talking about they're planting more stories for the week, and the Newsweek piece will be the following Monday. And then they talk about paying thousands of dollars for a good story. And don't worry, they're also going to take care of makeup. We also, I think this is going to be the, yeah, here we go. Great. This is the TMZ email where Zuckerman suggested shorter and punchier, no attack on the press, pled guilty to solicitation, no tabloid exaggeration of pedophilia. Jeffrey Epstein paid a price, no allegations of minors since 05. Okay. These people all knew and they all worked with him anyway. Even when we get into the transhumanism stuff, although, I mean, do we want to do this email? Let's see. Here's the AI machines that they want to build like children. And one of the aspects is here, they talk about AGI conferences. This is 2013. All right, now I might have been talking about more than artificial intelligence and transhumanism during that time period. Alex Jones, absolutely. But the general populace still doesn't even know what artificial general intelligence is. And they're talking about funding it and growing it and growing, you know, a three-year-old AGI into a four-year-old AGI. Let's see. This is the one we want to go to, right? Is this it? Roger Schenck. Oh, yeah. This is the more detailed version of that email. No, we did. There's Ben Gortzel. I thought that was, is this the Ben Gortzel email? Ben Gortzel, for those that don't know, again, another huge transhumanist. No, it looks like it reset on me. Let's search him. But he's throughout the emails, actually talking to him about people like Ray Kurzweil, Martine Rothblatt that I've done on this show. But this is the one that really got people's attention. Now, first and foremost, you know, when this dinner occurs with people like Katie Couric and Prince Andrew, et cetera, he's already been convicted. They already know who he is. So he's talking about Richard Branson, all right? And essentially, he's actually kind of making fun of Prince Andrew for maybe having a speck of humanity. Not a big fan of the royal family. They certainly don't see us as, you know, at their level. Prince Charles, pretty disgusting individual. Obviously, Andrew, very disgusting individual. At least he was a little shy on the clones, okay? Katie Couric was here, and we were talking about, I think we should, I want to start cloning things. Me, and this is, of course, Epstein talking. And with certain people, Prince Andrew got upset because he was all, if it had a conscience, could you kill it for spare parts? Kind of a la, what, the Island movie. And by the way, Michael Bay, who produced that film, very connected to Epstein. If you saw the Alex Jones interview with Juliet Bryant, she continually talked about Michael Bay. Getting back to this, Epstein says, and I said, I'll make it without a head. Would that make you feel better? And Katie Couric, I thought, was going to start to vomit. It's a big joke to these guys. Richard Branson, you know, ha, 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 ha. You know? So this, again, is one of those emails. And this is what's important, because transgenderism, separating you from your biological reality, which is a part of your spiritual reality, believe that. It's part of your everything, mind, body, and soul. If they can separate you from that, they can continually do so on a multitude of levels. And transhumanism spans from things like, quote-unquote, gene therapy and mRNA, okay, to the transhumanism, to the hormones. I mean, there's a reason that you have all these shootings now with those people, because those drugs are messing with their minds the same as the psychotropic drugs, and sometimes they're on those as well. But this is the one, I mean, it's hard. I'm kind of glad that it's not. We'll blow it down a little bit so people can. I'm not even going to read it, but it's pretty disturbing. You know, they're talking about sexual pleasure with the quote unquote male to female trans person that keeps their male genitalia. But then at the very end, yeah, this is it. Let's 3-year olds. You know, I'm not sure about it, but boy, we're getting there. These people are insane. Okay. We'll skip over that one. This was the email I was talking about, that insanity. Okay. So this, and by the way, everybody loves to play up to Jeffrey Epstein on how smart he was. And you watch that interview with Bannon. Epstein absolutely thought he was the smartest guy in the room every time. Go watch it. You know, for instance, when Bannon's talking about economics on that one, he names like 10 different economists and whether or not they would have a better take on the disaster after the subprime, and anybody could see it coming. And Epstein, when he's asked, he's like, well, any of these guys? And he's like, I'm sure there's somebody, but I can't think of them right now. Just like Epstein knows that he's evil. When Bannon asks him whether a truthful and honest organization should take money from him, he literally puts his tongue in his cheek and leans to the side. He has to think about it. He's like, well, I'm evil, so maybe not. That's a prelude to the devil comment. But again, just to show how nutty these people are, it's 2017. It's how people think. I found a criteria to find smart people, somebody recruiting for him. The more Jew you are, the smarter you are. You said you're 98% Jew. You're very smart. My boss is 78% Jew. He is super smart, less smart than you are. I have a close friend business partner who's 99.3% Jew. He is crazily smart. And this is where it just gets over the top, where you realize they're not joking around. We take all Jewish people, sourcing can be done through relatives, ask them to do a 23andMe test, do an event for everyone who is 98% Jew, all of them not religious. And that's the key part. And he says, does this make sense, right? Think about that. Now, anybody can convert to Judaism. They don't want you. They don't want you to have a spiritual aspect whatsoever. I mean, this is eugenics 101, right? I mean, to me, this is like maybe someone's going to break out the cranium measure, see how big your brain is. It's ridiculous. But they certainly don't want you if you actually have a spiritual side, because they want sociopaths. They want psychopaths. This is the do as thou wilt society. They are social Darwinists through and through. They believe they should rule because they do. And it's a viper's nest in these emails. And I am waiting for the next round to see what we can find out via 9/11 and beyond. I mean, this is the real world laid out. And right now you're seeing more and more mainstream media pieces. You know, Alex mentioned earlier the United Nations. Yeah, great organization. I mean, Epstein talking about the Trilateral Commission, the UN, the Illuminati, all in one, the NGOs, right? They're now, it does look like a global conspiracy. And they may have broken some laws here. I saw The Guardian. Oh, it does prove a global conspiracy. Sort of. There's no sort of about it. We've been talking about these roundtable organizations for years. In fact, go watch my film produced right here at Infowars.com right now for free, called Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. Now, we put that out in the middle of 2010. So there was very little known about Epstein other than the prosecution, what he had found guilty of, because the media wasn't doing the stories. It lays out that network. It lays out the network in detail. You can watch it for free. You can share it now, and you can continue to support this broadcast and Infowars.com and Alex Jones. Again, this is a real fight, and you can tell. I showed you the narrative management. That's a small speck of what these people do, and they are the same people that literally prey on not only the populace as a predator class, but children. Let that sink in. Children. So, folks, once again, I want to thank you for joining me for this fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Please follow me at Jason Burmis everywhere. Go check me out on YouTube, where all the documentary films are free. Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemy, Shade the Motion Picture, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. And remember, it is not about left or right. Always about right and wrong. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Support the broadcast.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at Infowars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's Infowars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones who shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.